From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of September, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the markets and weather with Jackie Vakes, Drew Lerner, and Greg Johnson. In Chicago, December corn today down 10.5 cents, settled at 682 at a quarter. March at 687 at a quarter, down a dime. And November beans were 23 and 3 quarters lower. They settled at 1455. The January at 1461. Down 23. Bean meal futures up 70 cents. The bean oil down $1.79. And wheat futures for the soft red up 11 and 3 quarters at $8.72 and a quarter. Live cattle futures for the day finished 45 cents lower. Feeders up 90. And the lean hogs were down 40 cents. Jackie Vakes of Total Farm Marketing now joins us to take a look at the market. Hi, Jackie. Tell me about the support and resistance levels.
December 669, 766. March 621 and 689, and May 683 and 702. When it comes to beans, November 1415 and 1584, January 1422 and 1587, and March 1459 and 1478. We look at December gold, Todd, 1696 and 1790. Dow Jones, 30,233 to 31,143. The dollar, 108.62 to 110.36. Now, when we look at managed money, kind of interesting. This this is always fascinating every week when we go through and look at what managed money's been doing, and then you think about what the market's been doing. They're currently short 12,000 wheat compared to 18,000 last week. Long 235,000 corn compared to 219 last week. 120,000 beans compared to 86 last week. 92,000 compared to 86 on soy meal, and 55,000 compared to 42 on soy oil. So you can see that they lightened up their short position on wheat, and they've extended their long position on everything else. Now, when you look at the index traders, the hedge inflation people, they cut their positions in wheat by 2,062, corn 1620, and beans 36. And I think that is a good reflection on the fact that they were still waiting. This is always as of Friday, but they were still waiting for more economic information coming out. Now, export inspections. Wheat exports ended down 11%, same as they were last week. Corn, I had to shake my head and double-check this a number of times, up 255% compared to a year ago. They were down 18% last week. And beans 170% ahead compared to 17 last week. Now, these corrections came in because inspection for export grains that are shipped for storage in Canada, they're first reported at the time of shipment from the St. Lawrence Seaway. And so these corrections are from January 2021 through September of 2022. So, I don't quite understand, but it is what it is, right? So we just go from there.
You've had time now to take in the USDA report from last week. Was there anything that you've explored and uncovered over the last few days that you think is really important?
I don't think anybody was surprised by the reduction in yield for corn, but the reduction in beans certainly came across as a big surprise. And I think that, when you looked at the reduction in yield in corn, a lot of people said, oh, that's going to come out of the Dakotas and stuff. No, that mostly came out of dryland corn, out of Kansas, Nebraska, the plain states. When it comes to beans, I guess it more or less bore out the fact that you can think whatever you want to about it on whether or not the rain is going to help or not. But unless you have the sunshine, it's not necessarily going to be there. And the other side of the coin is, nobody can estimate what the size of the bean pod is going to be by the time that we get to actual harvest. It's a very difficult situation. And so I think the fact that the ending stocks for 2022 really weren't, they weren't very far off on anything else. 2023, the corn stock was a little higher than what they had estimated, yet, although it was lower than August, but it was the bean stocks that were shocking from the standpoint that they dropped the exports and they dropped crush on beans, and we still ended up with only a 200 million bushel carryout. And if you looked at corn too, we came in at 1.2 billion. They dropped exports 100 million. They brought feed usage 100 million. That's huge. And so, had they not done that, we'd have been down at a billion. And so I think what they did was the right thing, because we just don't have enough information yet at this point in time. But you know, you just look across the board, and you look at world-ending stocks. They're tighter for corn for next year. They're tighter for beans next year, and they're just a hair bigger for wheat. And so, you know, all of that says, man, this is tight. This isn't a drought that basically just happened here in the U.S. or parts of the U.S. There have been weather problems across the world, and they're not going away. There's just no two ways about it. So we did see corn price go up by 10 cents to 6.75 cash, you know, mailbox price. Beans stayed the same, and wheat actually went down by a quarter, and that's only because, you know, the U.S. dollar is so high, it puts us out of the realm of being competitive. But one of the things, Todd, I wanted to highlight was the world balance sheet revisions that we see coming, and how important, you know, we look at the world-ending stocks, and everybody says, oh, you know, those are pretty good world-ending stocks on corn. Well, if you take China out of that number from that 312.1 for next year, there's only 101.9 available stocks. On wheat, which comes in at 275.7, there's 133.9. That's all that's left. And if you look at the world bean numbers, which both wheat and beans dropped significantly from last year, you only have 59 million metric tons left at the world level. Those are extremely tight numbers. And I just think everybody has to be aware of what we're facing as we move forward here. This is serious. We can't have any major hiccups anyplace.
Well, I do have a question as a follow-up to that. Is this because China is refilling its stocks, and what happens if they stop buying?
Well, you know, I think that's a fear that everybody has. You know, anytime you have someone as big as China and as big a user as they are. But the one thing that we have to understand when it comes to China is, you know, when you have a 1.4 billion person population and you have a very small government, your number one thing is you got to keep those people fed and working. There's no two ways about it. And so I think, yes, they've been building stocks. They tend to always like to do that. They want control. But I don't think it's going to stop them from buying. I think that they just, you know, if you watch the way that they operate, it'll be interesting. We're supposed to be getting the export sales numbers out for the last 4 weeks, finally. And I'll be interested to see how much they actually bought because, you know, it wasn't announced. Nothing came out. And so they're very savvy. Let's just put it this way. And, you know, when it comes to business, they are extremely savvy in terms of being able to hide things that they're doing. But the bottom line is they have a lot of people that they have to satisfy. And I think that for right now, you know, they just can't produce enough themselves to be able to do it. So it all comes down to how competitive we can be. You know, if with the dollar being as high as it is, it's kind of amazing that we're selling as much as we are. And so that tells you there itself what a need there is. I mean, I heard here in the U.S., where the heck was it? I think it was Tuscola, actually. They were taking 37% moisture corn with no dock for drying. That tells me that, wow, there's a need. You know, so I think all of us have to realize that that's the case, and it's not going to get better. Not right now, at least.
What do we know about planting conditions in South America and financial conditions, for that matter, in Argentina?
Well, Brazil, their first corn crop is planted 17%. And, you know, that's the state of Paraná is at 22%. That's usually the leading state, you know, in terms of where they start. You know, if you look at the big picture, soybean planting could start this week in some parts, but that's only if conditions permit. You know, when you look at the farmers, you know, in southern Brazil and central Brazil, they're all waiting for that additional moisture. You know, you and I have talked about this how many times already, that at this time of the year, the soil can be 140 degrees, 2 inches down. So, you know, soil moisture is extremely important. But what's even more important than that is that everything is warm enough. And now they had a cold front that came through that actually it brought some pretty heavy rainfall in some places and some strong winds and some isolated frost, which I guess they fight the same things that we fight, no matter how you look at it. But farmers in Mato Grosso are going to be starting as soon as the soybean free period ends on the 15th. Generally, they can start to plant, but they're going to be waiting for 1 to 2 inches of precipitation. I think when you look at Tempo Campo, which is their meteorological firm, they're saying 1 to 2 inches of rainfall over the next 30 days. Could be lighter amounts in between. Heaviest amounts are going to be in the northwest, north, and the mid-north. They're only going to plant, you know, they have to be careful, because if they plant after a light rain, you could see the beans germinate and then die because of lack of moisture and extreme heat. So I think this year more than ever, they're going to be very careful because they don't want to have to replant because of input costs, you know. And so it's not an easy go down there. When you talk about the exchange rate, or you talk about financial in Argentina, we noticed, of course, you know, that we had some big pressure on beans at times. And that's because the Argentine government decided, well, you know, these farmers aren't selling because the exchange rate's not good. So we're going to go for an official exchange rate from 139 peso per dollar for the month of September. We're going to go up to 200 pesos per dollar. Well, I'll tell you what, the farmers came out of the wall. And they were way behind, and they figured they sold as much as 5 million metric tons last week. And if that's the case, they've caught up to last year. Now, the wild card question is, what happens when a program ends on September 30th? Again, they probably won't sell. So they're saying if the farmer retains more than 5% of his 21-22 production, interest rate on financing storage goes to 120% of the prime rate, which is now 70%. That's where the prime rate is, 70%. So the interest rate on financing will go up to 84%. So it's unclear, though, how they're going to determine whether they have 5% or not. You know, are they going to go out on a farm? I mean, nobody, you know, when you think of the fact that Brazil is as big as the United States, I'm not too sure too many government guys are going to go out and try and figure out what's going on. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Indeed, we will. Hey, thank you for all the information today.
You're welcome.
That is Jackie Vakes. She is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. Let's check in on the weather forecast now with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew. Thanks for taking time with me today.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. In fact, this autumn stuff is I kind of like it, you know, warm days, cool nights. It's great.
It is fantastic. Is the weather getting better in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt into the Canadian prairies? Have they recovered from much of the drought they were in?
Absolutely not. In the prairies in particular, we have very short top and subsoil moisture. It hasn't rained most of this month in that area from southern Alberta into the central parts of Saskatchewan. This does include the southwest and south central parts of Saskatchewan, and even in neighboring areas of Montana and parts of the western Dakota, still critically dry in all of that region, more so in Canada, I suppose, than anywhere else, because their drought in southern Alberta and southwestern parts of Saskatchewan is 6 years old. And those guys are going to hurt pretty badly, not only from the yields that they don't have this year, but they've got to get moisture in the ground if they want to be able to plant in the spring, because once it gets cold up there, you know, the ground freezes up and that's their last chance for putting moisture in the soil until spring. So it's still very serious. You know, the harvest up there is going great. You know, everything's getting done quickly and it's moving along fine. In that area that's drought-stricken, obviously, there's some big negative features going on there.
In the northwestern Corn Belt, the Dakotas through Nebraska, how are things lining out at the moment?
You know, for this time of the year, we're probably doing all right. We've been getting a little bit of timely rain, which has helped the late-season soybeans to fill a little bit. Not everybody's getting treated equally, though. There are definitely areas that are still pretty dry, and so some of the yields are slipping a little lower still. But it's getting late enough. You know, our hours of daylight get shorter and each day that goes by, and that pushes those soybeans closer and closer to maturation. And so the need for moisture has certainly fallen off in many of those areas. But, yeah, we still have dryness in some of that region. And a little bit of moisture is in the forecast over this first week of the outlook, most of which I think will probably be Thursday, tomorrow into Friday and Saturday. and just scattered showers and storms, but there will be at least a little bit of benefit to some of the crops there. And then they go back into dry weather for a little while, for maybe a week after that.
And are those scattered showers also available across Minnesota, Iowa, and then east of the Mississippi in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio?
Yes, this will be a progressive event, although the further south you go in those states you mentioned, the more limited the rain will be. So it'll be more of a Michigan and Wisconsin event, as well as Minnesota. Eastern Iowa will get a little bit of moisture, maybe a couple tenths to three quarters of an inch there. And then for central and southern Illinois and central and southern Indiana into Ohio, if they get a half inch of moisture in the coming week, it'll be pretty amazing. I think they're going to see pretty darn dry conditions occurring from there all the way down into the Delta and the southeastern states, as well as the southern half of the plains.
So that Delta region will be able to move then in this case. They've had a lot of water.
They have. In fact, I know we don't talk about sugarcane very often, but I talked to some sugarcane folks down. They haven't been able to plant their cane, and they usually plant that in August. And so they've got a real problem down there with that. And the harvest begins right now in the next few days there. So, yeah, the weather is turning, though, and it is going to get better. For the corn and beans, or not corn, but the soybeans that are in the Delta, and the cotton and rice that are still left to be harvested, yes, there will definitely be an improving trend there.
In South America, Brazilian producers have a go now. Do they have moisture to plant?
They're going to get it. They don't have it today. There will be a succession of little disturbances coming into Brazil's center west and center south crop areas as we go forward through the next 10 days. And the precipitation will probably be most meaningful next week, but we will get a few showers maybe occurring over the next couple of days in Mato Grosso and areas southward into Mato Grosso to Sol and even into Sao Paulo and Paraná. There will be a little break, and then we'll get some more rain next week. And like I said, next week is probably the better period. I think these showers and thunderstorms will be a little bit more concentrated, a little more frequent. Be a good reason for a few of those farmers to get out there and start pushing some seed in the ground about a week to a week and a half from now. So it looks pretty good. Now, the only negative thing I can see in Brazil is in Paraná, where the wheat harvest is underway, and it looks like it's going to rain a little too often in that state. They may have a little bit of a quality issue with that wheat being left in the fields with all the rain for a while.
Are there any concerns in Argentina?
You know, Argentina is still being beat up by La Nina. There's still a lack of moisture in the west, and that is not going to change much over this next couple of weeks. We do have a little disturbance that will bring some moisture into Buenos Aires and maybe a little bit of La Pampa, but the area that's been driest for the longest period is west central portions of Argentina in Cordoba. And that particular province is pretty important for not only winter crops, but also for the early summer crops there. And so a big change is going to be necessary. I should point out, though, that Buenos Aires is number one when it comes to winter wheat. And the moisture profile in most of Buenos Aires is still not bad. So the problems are in the western part of the country. And we just have to keep in mind that there's not that much wheat that's produced out there to the west. But, you know, with the world market being what it is, every little hurt hurts a little more.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's check the cash grain situation on the ground in East Central Illinois. Now, Greg Johnson is here. He is with Total Grain Marketing in Champaign County. Hi, Greg. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. There's been a lot made about the transportation issues. We talk a lot about trucking and cost. However, trains may be an issue in the next week or so. I'm wondering if the potential strike by the railway workers creates much of a problem for you.
In a way, it does. We have some facilities where the railroad is trying to place the trains early this week. They're not due to place till next week in some locations, but they're placing this week. At least that way they'll be off the tracks for the railroad, and they'll have that much less to worry about if there is a strike. Other places, the corn harvest really hasn't started yet, and we may have to incent farmers to bring in corn early, either with quick shipment premiums or reduced rate drying. But if doesn't show up, then we really don't want to incent the harvest to start any sooner if the cars aren't here. So it kind of depends on the location, whether you have it sold and have the corn and available, or if you don't have the corn available. So it has definitely caused some uncertainty, and it's only Wednesday, so it sounds like Friday is D-Day, and we will see what happens on Friday.
So essentially, when you say they placed the trains, they brought the cars in and left them off at in your sidetracks so that you can move them around and fill them and have them ready to go when and if the strike stops, if there is a strike, that is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, they're placing the trains early, placing the cars early. Hopefully they're not charging demurrage, because normally when they set cars, you have 24 hours to get those cars loaded before the demurrage charges start. But in this kind of a extraordinary situation, I would think that the railroad is just doing that for their convenience, and so they wouldn't be charging the elevators a demurrage charge until the day that the train actually was supposed to be placed.
Let's talk a little bit about what the situation on the ground is like for bases for corn and soybeans. Harvest hasn't really started yet, but you're trying to transition from old to new crop, I would suppose.
Exactly, yes. We've seen some 75-cent to dollar premiums for corn if you can ship it this week versus next week. Bean premiums have been over $2 if you can get beans delivered this week versus next week. So that kind of tells you when the processor, the harvest is going to start here in central Illinois. They're paying premiums by the 16th of September, which is Friday. So they think harvest will start next week. And so they're paying up this week and then hoping, I guess, that harvest occurs naturally next week, and some of those premiums, they won't go away completely, but they won't be paying $2 premiums for corn. They might be paying 75-cent premiums for beans next week, and they won't be paying 75-cent premiums for corn as they are this week. They might be paying 30 or 40 or 50-cent premiums. Eventually, we'll get to the where there'll be enough of a supply to fill the pipeline back up, and those premiums will probably go away, but that usually takes several weeks before the premiums completely go away.
And one final note, what do the folks that you talked to think of last week's crop production and WASDE figures from USDA?
We're pleasantly surprised that the bean number was lower. Farmers in our area that have received rains over the last 4 to 6 weeks feel like we have a pretty good bean crop coming, but they understand that east of the Mississippi we received rains and west of the Mississippi they didn't, and we know what that means the impact that we've seen on our corn crop when we didn't get the rains in June and July. We know how that can impact the yield. So we feel fortunate that our bean crop is going to be good, but I think the farmers pretty much agree with USDA that the crop needs to be lowered, and most of them would probably argue that maybe corn needs to be even lowered a little bit more.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He is with TGM, Total Grain Marketing, from right here in Champaign County, and joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.